In this video, we're going to learn about the latest update regarding Russia-Ukraine war. Russian troops are slowly advancing towards the town of Bakhmut. Bakhmut is here. It's in the Donetsk region. I have said this in my previous video. Russia is not at all interested in the whole Ukraine. It only wants the regions of Donetsk and Luhansk, which together is called Donbas region. In fact, this whole war started due to a territorial conflict, which is continuing since 2014. Before this war, this Donbas region had Russian-speaking Ukrainians who were in minority. They often had clashes with the Ukrainian military. You can say that there was a mini-war going on in the Donbas region since 2014. After the Euromaidan movement, the clashes used to be violent, brutal and armed. Since this region is bordered with Russia, so naturally the Russian government supported these minority population and the rebel forces, or you can call them extremists, in their fight against the Ukrainian military. In fact, the whole Minsk agreement, which has now proved to be a bogus agreement, France, Germany, Russia and Ukraine came up with a ceasefire agreement through the Minsk agreement. So basically the aim of this agreement was to end the war in the Donbas region of Ukraine. Even the United States was involved in this agreement. But the war never ended. So anyhow, to cut the long story short, you have to understand that Russia only wants the eastern part of Ukraine. Now, whether their reasons are legitimate or not, that's a different topic. So the Russian troops are slowly advancing towards the town of Bakhmut in the Donetsk region. So this is the first update. The second update is, it seems Ukraine has a football club called Shakhtar Donetsk. The players are not from Donetsk region. This is an initiative for raising money that is supposed to be used to cover needs of those Ukrainian who took part in this war. Again, you will see this is a soft power tool for building narrative. If you remember the Vogue magazine episode, Zelensky and his wife were posing for Vogue magazine in the middle of the war. So even this is similar to that. It is all part of narrative building and reaching out to the wider audience in a more subtle and sophisticated manner. Moving on to the next update, the Dutch Prime Minister has said, aid to Ukraine will not stop until the war stops. Now, a similar statement has also been made by the United States government. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken has said, United States is determined to give Ukraine the support it needs to succeed on the battlefield. By support, they mean military equipments and money. Similarly, Spain's Prime Minister has said the European Union needs to stay united on Ukraine. Right from day one of this war, that is last year from the month of February 2022, I have been saying that this is not a war just between Russia and Ukraine. It is between Russia and the collective West, which includes United States as the captain, United Kingdom, European Union member countries and the G7 countries. And now, every now and then in the news, we keep hearing about United States, UK and other major European countries' involvement, as well as open acceptance in front of the media for sending weapons, military equipments and money to Ukraine. From here, what we can learn is that how to move from a state of constant denial towards open acceptance in a subtle manner. Initially, if you see, United States' position was to only keep giving intel and information to the world that Russia would do this, Russia is planning to do that. So in the beginning, United States played the role of a postman to the world. And within this 1 year, United States swiftly moved from the role of being a postman to a direct commander of this war. And it is not just me, there is a person by the name Colonel Richard Black. He's also a former senator. Listen to what he has to say.
We don't care. The United States and NATO, we do not care how many Ukrainians die. It's become a great football game. We've got our team, they've got our team, rah, rah. We want to get the biggest score and run it up. We are shipping fantastic quantities of weapons, cause the stock of Raytheon, which creates missiles, and Northrop Grumman, which creates aircraft and so forth, and missiles. All of these defense industries have become tremendously bloated with tax dollars. But I don't think Ukraine has anything to do with the decision about peace or war. I think the decision about peace or war is made in Washington, D.C. As long as we want the war to continue, we will fight that war using Ukrainians as proxies, and we will fight it to the last Ukrainian death.
Now, if this man can see things very clearly and speak the truth, how difficult it is to figure out what is actually happening. Ukraine has been made a fool by its president, actor Zelensky. It is very easy to see what is happening. The whole West is fighting an indirect war against Russia with the help of Ukrainians as proxies. Isn't this weird to even think that North America and Europe is neither stopping the war or winning the war? It's going to be 1 year now. 1 year of constant bombardment. I don't think there was even a single day of break. So how difficult it is to even think that this is not what it seems to be. Anyhow, now Netherlands is also planning to join the United States and Germany in sending the Patriot missile defense system to Ukraine. Ukrainian troops have arrived in US Army base in Oklahoma for Patriot training. And what's funnier is that the US president is thanking the Netherlands Prime Minister for standing strong with Ukraine. Really, as if he had a choice. You see, all these things are part of narrative building. Vogue magazine, holding a moment of silence in Oscars, then making a football team play in support of the event, Scout Chief Bear Grylls meeting Zelensky. He is a youth icon. Many young children will have an impact through this. You'll see war narratives are being accompanied by emotional progression. This is not at all how real genuine battles are fought. It is simply narrative building, and they are attacking different identity layers that we all inherit. Some like football, they are targeted. Children are being targeted. Like this, we should not be surprised if tomorrow movies will be made on this conflict. If you look at all the US war movies in the last 20 years, they are primarily focused on Afghanistan and Iraq. And United States is always the good guy. So this is nothing but narrative building. We are also getting to hear that the Australian military personnel are going to train Ukrainian troops in United Kingdom. Australia will be the 9th country to join the UK-led training mission, with Canada, Denmark, Finland, Sweden, Lithuania, New Zealand and the Netherlands already part of it. If you see, it may all appear as a step towards helping Ukraine to defend itself. But then 9 developed countries are needed to train Ukrainian troops. Can we not put this under overtraining? If 9 countries are training Ukrainian troops, then it is a clear sign that the war is not going to end anytime soon. On top of it, top US generals are now in Germany, where the United States is training Ukrainian forces. So all of this is enough to indicate that the war is not going to end anytime soon. Even the European Commission president has said Western allies need to step up the level of military support and equipment being sent to Ukraine. Now let me show you on a map who is in control of what in Ukraine. As I already said that the eastern part of Ukraine is very much in control of Russia. And I also said Russia is not at all interested in taking over the entire Ukraine. Probably the Russian plan is to advance a little more inside and gain control of the areas near Kharkiv, Dnipro and entire Kherson. If you see, right now Russia is targeting the city of Dnipro. In fact, the Ukrainian presidential advisor has recently resigned over his false statement, and that is where the Russian government has accused Ukraine and has brought this out in the public that Ukraine has been lying about a lot of things during the entire 1 year of war. Ukraine's home minister was killed in a helicopter crash near the capital city of Kyiv. It was basically an accident. It was not an attack or anything. Due to low visibility, the helicopter hit the building. Here is another update. In the first 2 weeks of January, European countries snapped up almost 8 million barrels of Russian diesel, according to energy data provider Vortexa. If you remember, last year, United States and European countries have put a ban on Russian crude, but not on diesel. European Union countries although have reduced their imports of crude from Russia since last year, but that isn't happening with diesel, because it's much harder to find alternative sources of the fuel. And now the most obvious place where Europe can get more diesel is the Middle East. India and the US, both long-term suppliers of the European countries, both the countries have also stepped up shipments in recent weeks. In fact, the US has to meet its own domestic demand and export to European Union. As you know, India is buying discounted crude from Russia and then making a profit from exporting high-priced petrol and diesel. So US is buying Russian oil from India. Because there is a link between rising Indian oil product exports to US and surge in Russian crude imports. India's imports of Russian crude oil are all-time high in this month of January, 1.7 million barrels per day. India has become among the biggest importers of Russian crude oil, and Russia in turn has become the biggest supplier of its oil, accounting for 25% of the country's crude purchases. India's imports from Russia rose further in December 2022, crossing 1 million barrels per day for the first time. This means that Russia remained India's top oil supplier for the third month in a row. But the surprise is that the United States has emerged as the biggest purchaser of refined oil products from India. And if you all remember, United States used to criticize India from time to time for buying more oil and doing business with Russia. And the interesting thing is, United States and European Union sanctions on Russian oil exports do not apply to refined products produced from Russian crude exported from a third country, as they are not of Russian origin. So, if at all the Russian crude oil is not going to Europe, then where is it going? Of course, it is going to India. But in India, the fuel prices are still high. And as an Indian, we are not consuming so much of fuel because it's expensive. So who is India selling the Russian oil? The United States has been a big buyer of Russian virgin gas oil. But then, it cannot purchase virgin gas oil directly from Russia. It is purchasing from Reliance Energy and Nayara Energy in India, which prepares the VGO from Russian crude oil. And don't you think Russia is not aware of it? Even Russia is aware of it. Even United States is aware as well as fine with it. And even India is fine with it. And now even Europe is piling up huge reserves of Russian diesel. It is absolutely crazy to think what's actually going on. But then this is geopolitics. Anyhow, so far these are the updates regarding Russia-Ukraine war. Hope you find this video informative. Thank you for watching it.